Well, the country of India has deferred the commercial cultivation of what would have been its first genetically modified vegetable crop due to safety concerns. The environmental minister there says more studies are needed to ensure genetically modified products are safe for consumers and the environment. Well, what are we doing here? Jeffrey Smith will be with us in a moment, international best-selling author, an expert on genetically modified organisms, GMOs as they're called. That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Here's best-selling author and independent filmmaker Jeffrey Smith, and also leading spokesperson on the health dangers of genetically modified organisms. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Jeffrey, how are you?
Very good. Great to be back.
You too. What's going on in India, first of all?
Well, 100,000 people fasted. 8,000 people took a part of in consultations with the Minister of Environment. India said no to BT eggplant. BT, eggplant that's genetically engineered to produce a toxin to kill insects in every cell. They wanted to feed it to the population. It could have been a cataclysm.
So they got smart.
Oh, yes. In fact, there were scientists all over the world that sent in support for those who were trying to say, take this off of our markets, get it out of our fields. They were going to try and introduce it this year. And I'll tell you, from what we know about genetically engineered foods in general and the BT toxin in particular, we could have been talking about an irreversible damage to the population.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Throughout the world, Jeffrey, throughout the world, GM foods are how widespread?
Well, I would say in soy and corn, primarily in the growing United States, like 85-90%. Cotton, most of the cotton grown here also. Canola, and also sugar beet. So those are the main five genetically modified crops. But throughout the world, it's only on 2.4% of the arable land. So it's not a complete takeover like the biotech industry intended. They, in fact, intended to replace 95% of all commercial seeds with genetically engineered seeds by 2004. And fortunately, the consumers in Europe said no to it, which stopped the moving train and prevented them from replacing nature.
Now, for genetically modified cotton, should that bother us? We don't eat it.
Well, we do eat cottonseed oil, and that is a problem. But what happened in India was really important to see what happened. The cotton in India is engineered to produce this BT toxin that kills insects. And thousands of farm workers who are handling the cotton are getting rashes all over their bodies and upper respiratory problems. I traveled in India last year, and everywhere I went in the cotton-growing regions, I had people raise their hand in the audience, are you suffering from rashes or other symptoms? And always people raise their hand. Then they allowed animals to graze on the cotton plants after harvest. Thousands of sheep died, buffalo died, goats died. In fact, I visited one village where they allowed their buffalo to graze on cotton plants after harvest safely for 8 years. But on January 3rd of 2008, they allowed their 13 buffalo to graze on the genetically modified BT cotton for 1 day. And within 3 days, all buffalo had died. And they also lost 26 goats and sheep.
And I also hear some cotton farmers have died, but they may be committing suicide?
Oh, yes. What happens is cotton is not reliable in its output. It has all sorts of problems. And Monsanto used incredibly deceptive advertising and pushed this cotton, forcing in some cases hundreds of thousands of farmers to take it because they withdrew the availability of non-GM cotton seeds in many places. When the cotton yield did not even return enough to pay back the loans that the farmers took to cover the expensive seeds and the chemicals, they committed suicide by the thousands. The UK Daily Mail estimates 125,000 farmers committed suicide after investing in BT cotton.
125,000 farmers?
125,000. It's unbelievable. And they typically drink the pesticides that were intended for the field.
Do you accept that number?
Well, you know, I investigated in India, and I talked to Vandana Shiva, a friend of mine, and she thinks it's close to 200,000. She did a book on it, and I was evaluating the book, but
my
it was
God.
A few years old. Then I talked to some people like in Vidarbha, India, where there was a suicide every 8 hours on average. So I decided to take some people think it's lower, some people think it's higher. I decided to just quote the UK Daily Mail, but it certainly is a genocide on that level. It's just absolutely horrific.
Let's go back a little bit, Jeffrey. For the origin of genetically modified foods, primarily in seeds, What was the intention in the initial thrust? Was it to get more tonnage of food? Was it to do away with pesticides and kill off weeds that way? What was the original intent?
Well, the primary reason why they genetically engineered foods is so that the crops drink poison. They don't die when sprayed with herbicide. So Monsanto sells Roundup Ready soybeans as a package with their Roundup herbicide. About 85% of all the genetically modified crops are poison eaters. And what it did is it extended the de facto, kind of a de facto extension of the expiring patent of Roundup by Monsanto. The other major trait is to produce this BT toxin, to produce poison, and that it kills insects that bite the plants. Now, between those two, that's 99.9% of all the traits out there. There's also some Hawaiian papaya and a little bit of zucchini and crookneck squash that are designed not to die from a particular virus. But most always, it's drinking poison or producing poison.
So if a insect eats it and the toxin kills the insect, what does it do to us?
Exactly. You know, they say, EPA, Monsanto, the other biotech industry, say that the BT toxin is safe because it comes from soil bacteria, which is used in as a bacterial form as a spray in farming and forestry. So they figured, well, it has a history of safe use. Let's put it directly in the food supply. They neglect to point out that the natural form of the spray caused hundreds of people to get allergic reactions and rashes all over their bodies, just like the people are getting in India now from the BT toxin produced in the crop. And when it's produced in the crop, it's thousands of times more concentrated than the natural spray. It doesn't wash off. It's designed to be more toxic. And even in the natural form, it causes immune responses and tissue damage in animals. Now they've tested the BT toxin in corn varieties, including a government-funded study in Europe, and they found dramatic immune responses in animals that eat the same corn that we're eating. In fact, there was a team of experts in France that just analyzed two varieties of BT corn, and found organ damage, including in the liver and kidneys, the primary detoxifiers in mice.
This is scary stuff, Jeffrey.
It gets worse, because the only human feeding study ever conducted shows that genes that were inserted into soybeans actually transferred into the DNA of bacteria living inside our intestines and continued to function. This means these human volunteers had Roundup-ready gut bacteria because there was continuously produced inside their intestines these foreign genetically modified proteins. Now, they only tested this on soybeans, which is Roundup-ready. If they had tested this on the BT corn that we eat in corn chips, they might have discovered that we're turning our intestinal flora into living pesticide factories, producing the BT toxin continuously inside of our intestines, which many, many scientists and experts believe is happening.
Why does the FDA allow this?
Well, the FDA was essentially hijacked. They were told by the White House in 1991 to promote the biotechnology industry to fast-track GMOs. So they hired, specifically created a position for Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney, who, while he was overseeing policy, came up with the idea of saying, well, let's just say it's the same as other food in order to get it on there without a single safety test. So the FDA actually requires not a single safety test. They don't even have to be informed if the biotech industry introduces a GM crop into our food supply. Now, thousands of documents made public from a lawsuit 7 years later show that the sentence in the policy claiming that the agency was unaware of any information showing that these foods were different was a complete lie. In fact, the overwhelming consensus of the FDA's own scientists were that genetically engineered foods were inherently dangerous, not only different, and could create allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. But they were ignored, and their warnings were denied. And then Michael Taylor became Monsanto's vice president after working in the government, and now the Obama administration has put him back into the FDA as the U.S. food safety czar.
Interesting, too, that, for example, here's another story that's just out. The European Union Scientific Committee has failed to reach an agreement over whether to approve three genetically modified maize, which is corn, right? Mm-hmm. Maize crops for import. And so they've got problems over there, too. But these maize types were developed by chemical companies, DuPont, Dow, Monsanto involved? Monsanto was in the chemical business in a big way. Isn't this weird that chemical companies develop these products?
And they're in charge of determining if the foods are safe completely. They can, in the United States. Europe has a little more resistance in terms of its approval process, but it's basically a superficial facade. They were going to implement a rigorous set of testing protocols, but the person who was developing that discovered that GMOs were inherently dangerous. This was Dr. Arpad Pusztai in the UK, and when he went public with his concerns, he was fired from his job after 35 years and silenced with threats of a lawsuit, and they never implemented his long-term safety studies. But even with the more superficial study requirements, they're finding problems. In fact, these French scientists found the problems even in Monsanto's own research. They went back and looked at the raw feeding data of these rat studies, analyzed them with proper statistics, and found vital organ damage across the board. Now, Monsanto, when they rigged their research to avoid finding problems. In fact, there was a former managing director of India who came out last week saying that Monsanto used to falsify its data that it gave to the regulatory agencies of India. And he left Monsanto because they were not they weren't going to be safe for the country. This was several.
So he went on record.
He went on record on Monday, and that's all over the news right now. But we knew that already. I mean, I have a whole section in my book, Genetic Roulette, which describes exactly how Monsanto and others rig research, how they use the wrong controls, the wrong statistics, overcook samples. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating how they have bad science down to a science.
Now, you know, a lot of people just don't trust research. You know, could this go the way of another climate, earth changes, climate gate, where one group of scientists say it's good for you, the other group says, no, it's not?
Well, that's exactly what Monsanto does. When a friend of mine found that the soybeans created low levels of these cancer-fighting phytoestrogens, Monsanto rushed their study to publication, showing that it was too variable to even do a statistical analysis. But they had instructed the laboratory to use a method that had been no longer used because it was subject to high variability. When they wanted to show that injections of their genetically modified bovine growth hormone didn't cause cows to get pregnant, they added cows to the study secretly that were pregnant before injection.
And they sold off the bovine hormone division, didn't they?
Yeah, to Eli Lilly. And Eli Lilly, what they did is I was told by an FDA researcher directly how Eli Lilly tried to rig their research and did things to get around the law. It was absolutely, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
What's the downside, Jeffrey, to all of this? I mean, what could happen?
Well, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine last year came out with strong words saying that genetically modified feed fed to animals in feeding studies was linked to immune system damage, infertility, was accelerated aging, dysregulation of insulin and cholesterol. In fact, I spoke to one of the renowned biologists in the world, Dr. Bhargava, in India last year, who was very opposed to this BT eggplant, and he believes that the rise in all these diseases in the United States may very well be due to the introduction of genetically modified foods. When GMOs were introduced in 1996, 7% of Americans had three or more chronic illnesses. Within 9 years, it had nearly doubled to 13%.
Interesting.
Food allergies doubled. In fact, when GM soy was introduced to the UK, soy allergies skyrocketed by 50% within a year.
And also, isn't it interesting how male fertility is going down?
And that is probably linked to GMOs. We can see that even in the animal feeding studies. A senior researcher in the Russian National Academy of Sciences fed genetically modified soy, the same soy flour used in our bread, to some female rats, and more than half of their babies died within 3 weeks. The babies were also smaller and couldn't reproduce. When fed to male rats, the testicles changed color from pink to blue. In Italy, mice that were fed GM soy had changes in their testicles and young sperm cells. In fact, this Russian scientist was told by her boss, as typically happens when you find problems with GMOs, she couldn't do any more research because her boss was being pressured by his boss. So one of her colleagues tried to comfort her by saying, well, maybe the GM soy will solve the overpopulation problem.
Whatever happened to the concept of God-given food, the seeds that nature provided us? Well, what was wrong with that?
Well, GMO really means God move over.
Yeah. I mean, what was wrong with that? I mean, they didn't make enough money doing it? What?
Well, the thing is, the seed companies don't make a lot of money. If farmers save seeds and replant.
Which they always used to do.
Right. So Monsanto has contracts now that if you buy their genetically modified, everyone, you know, Monsanto, Dow, DuPont.
You got to keep buying every year, right?
So you're on the treadmill. They're looking for a kind of biocolonialism. They want to take over the seed buying habits of the 1.4 billion farmers on Earth. They want to introduce, it's not yet introduced, Terminator technology, which causes sterile offspring, forcing the farmers to buy. In fact, they don't need to force farmers to buy that way. They can sell their lousy products in a certain section of India. For 3 years, the average person that invested in BT cotton was down 57% in income, and yet by the end of the 3 years, nearly everyone was buying the BT cotton because of the deceptive advertising used. I mean, they know how to convince and corrupt farmers to get them to buy stuff, even if it doesn't improve yield, even if it ends up causing a disaster.
They must not like you.
I'm not on their Christmas list.
No, not at all. I don't think you ever will be, will you?
No, I don't think so.
What happens illegally in this country, in the United States? Maybe what's Canada doing, too, by the way?
Canada has also a complete facade of an approval system. It's based entirely on assumptions, not on scientific data. It's a very pro-GM country. They, like we, lost our European exports, lost some of our Japanese exports, hurt seriously. And so instead of withdrawing GMOs as a failed technology, Canada and the United States are trying to push it onto other countries. Canada is sort of being the biotech industry's representative in trade negotiations. They want to introduce Terminator technology, and the United States is sort of the bully all over the country, forcing countries like India to take it if they want to participate in receiving aid, et cetera, from the United States.
Was the push also, Jeffrey, maybe they thought they would get more food, more crops from this?
Well, originally, the Council of Competitiveness under the Bush administration, chaired by Vice President Dan Quayle, agreed that GMOs would increase U.S. exports and the domination of United States in the food industry, the exact opposite.
So on paper, they thought, hey, this might be pretty good.
Exactly. And now we spent $3 to $5 billion every year to prop up the prices of the GM crops no one wants. And even the USDA's own research shows that farmers don't improve their income or yield. In fact, they can reduce their income or yield. So we lose on every front. The only one that makes the money are the biotech industry.
Have the GM foods been legally put on food labels and things like that?
Well, you're not allowed. I mean, there's no required labeling in the United States, and so no one actually does it. Fortunately, some of the companies are putting non-GMO labels, and that's actually on the increase. Last year, the most popular additional label on store home brands was non-GMO.
So it would say this tomato is a non-GMO.
Well, fortunately, tomatoes are not genetically engineered.
Not yet.
No, I know they were years ago. In fact, when they were put on the
they taste like cardboard.
Oh, they were terrible. When they were studied, this is the only company to actually submit raw feeding study data to the FDA. It's not required. It's a voluntary exercise. And the scientists, you can read the memos made public from a lawsuit, were alarmed because 7 of 40 rats had stomach lesions and 7 of 20 died within 2 weeks.
Eating these things.
Yeah. After eating the tomato.
Jeez. All right, so they stopped doing that?
Well, they took the tomato off the market. So in the produce section, it's pretty easy.
Voluntarily took it off?
Yes, voluntarily. It was not required.
That's interesting.
Now, we have a shopping guide online. In fact, Supermarket News said the introduction of this shopping guide is one reason why they expect to see an uprising of awareness of GMOs in the U.S. population, and that's at non-GMOshoppingguide.com. We also have an iPhone application at Shop No GMO. That's the name of the iPhone application. And you can download it off the website, or you can buy pocket guides or put it in your iPhone. But that'll help people avoid genetically engineered foods when buying foods at the supermarket.
Jeffrey, we're going to take phone calls with you. This is a fascinating subject, important. Jeffrey Smith, our guest. Phone lines are open. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. With our special guest this hour, Jeffrey Smith, will take your calls in just a moment. On our next Coast to Coast program, Robert Young Pelton joins us as we talk about some global tensions. Astrobiologist David Grinspoon will be moved to another date. He's under the weather, so Robert Young Pelton joins us on our next Coast to Coast show. Okay, we only have a half hour to go with Jeffrey Smith, so we'll try to get as many of your phone calls in as we can. Your websites, Jeff, want to get them out for us here?
Sure. To help you avoid GMOs, go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com and healthiereating.org. Healthiereating.org will allow you to sign up for a free newsletter, read all about it, watch free videos online. And you can also order books and DVDs, et cetera, at toll-free 888-717-7000, 888-717-7000, or online.
All right, very good. To the calls we go, we'll go to Myrtletown, California, first-time caller. Hey, Matt, go ahead. You're on with us.
Hey, George, you guys have kept me awake many nights on the road. I have a question in regards to organic farming. I'm wondering if these corporations are going to try, or I've heard they're going to try and outlaw organic farming because your untreated vegetables and food would be unsafe for the population.
Well, Matt, it's very unlikely that they're going to try and outlaw organic farming. What they sometimes do is try and make the standards weaker so that they will allow more industrial-type agriculture. You see, the main food companies like Kellogg's and Quaker and all that, they've actually been buying up organic companies because organic is the most, the fastest growing section of the food industry. But what we have to do is to make sure that organic standards continue to mean something. And as far as GMOs, organic products are not allowed to use genetically modified ingredients, which is very good news. And there's also a new third-party verified program called the Non-GMO Project, which requires that if someone makes non-GMO claims and even asks organic products to enroll, they actually get tested and verified that they meet the non-GMO standard. So that's good news for organic, and right now we're very confident about organic. We just have to make sure that it stays the organic that we like.
Companies like Whole Foods, are they all organic, or do they use some GM foods?
Well, they're not all organic, no. They have made a commitment for their home brand, like the 365 brand, to be non-GMO. In fact, they've enrolled all their products in this new non-GMO project seal. So we'll be seeing the non-GMO project seal listed right on their products. But if you go to Whole Foods and you just pick a random product off the shelf, it may contain GMOs, because it's not necessarily their home brand, and they don't have a non-GMO policy.
Okay. Let's go next, west of the Rockies. Michael, Eugene, Oregon. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call again. It's funny how I get through so often when other people take years to get through.
Not done.
But I'm about tired of this needs to be disclosed. I am HIV positive, and I am doing actually quite well physically. And it's like this thing that was with the genetic modified foods and how it affects the immune system. It's really important to me to learn all this stuff. But I had a question. I believe that Monsanto had a patent that they applied for years ago, that they were going to put a chemical into the environment that would make all plants not produce seeds, and then everyone was supposed to buy plant or seeds. They were going to have to buy seeds from Monsanto, you know. And then one other quick question, and then I'll get off the line and listen for your response. George, how do I get a hold of you? I need to talk with you personally. What's the best way to do it?
Just send me an email and let me know what's up. Okay? George at coasttocoastam.com. Now, I have not heard about Monsanto trying to wipe out seeds that way. Have you?
I think what Michael's talking about is the Terminator technology. Yes, years ago, it was developed in part by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that renders seeds sterile, that forces farmers to go back year after year. When it was first conceived and produced, they were advertising that it was to target the 1.4 billion farmers that save seeds year after year. And when the world erupted in anger, they said, oh, no, actually it's designed for something else. It's designed to prevent contamination in the environment. I mean, they just sort of, you know, changed their justifications depending to suit the day. But it's a very, very dangerous technology, because what it'll do is it'll force farmers to abandon the thousands and millions of varieties of different seeds out there and force them to get the limited number of genetic traits available through the catalogs. So we're going to be betting the world's security on less biodiversity, which is a disaster. So they're going to literally bet the the food security of the world in order to sell more product.
Would you debate a Monsanto spokesperson?
Then I'll never lose.
On this show, would you?
Absolutely. They won't do it because back in 1999 or earlier, Burstyn Marsteller, which is a major PR firm, told them just do not get into the debates. It's the killing field of public awareness, and they don't want to talk about the long-term health issues. They don't want to talk about the environmental issues. I'd be happy to debate, but the Monsanto will not debate. You might get some pro-GM scientists down here, and I'd be more than happy, because we don't lose on the details. That's why I wrote the book Genetic Roulette. It lays out all the 65 health risks in detail or in summary form, showing that their assumptions are just that, false assumptions, that have, many of which have been proven false.
Do these scientists who are for genetically modified foods feed this food to their families and friends and kids?
Excellent question. I talked to a former Monsanto scientist who said that his colleagues were doing safety studies on genetically engineered bovine growth hormone injected into cows to increase milk supply. When they found the increase of insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1, in the milk, they were so shocked that these three scientists refused to drink milk after that point unless it was organic. One even bought a cow so they could be in charge of their own food supply. And there was an activist in Europe 10 years ago that went to the owner of the restaurant of the headquarters, in the headquarters of Monsanto, and asked, do you use genetically engineered foods? And got a letter back saying, because of concern by our customers, we have decided to remove as far as possible genetically modified soy and corn so that you feel confident. Their customers were Monsanto's employees at Monsanto's headquarters.
Let's go to Troy, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hello, Jack. Go ahead. Jack, are you there?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. George, it's an honor to speak with you. You're a great host. I hope to meet you in person someday.
All right.
My question to the host, for your guest this evening, is concerning genetically modified foods. I have a question first and then a comment. My question is there a bona fide link to the genetically modified foods and eczema? I'm an eczema sufferer, and also I've also heard rumor or innuendo that Monsanto is so strict with the patents on their seeds. And if they have a farm adjacent to somebody that is not a Monsanto farm, and there is cross-pollination, something blowing in the wind just due to the breeze, that they will actually serve notice on that non-genetic farmer and attempt to sue that person for patent contamination.
I have heard that, Jeffrey, haven't you?
Well, yes. What happens is, when you sign a contract that you won't replant, you also allow Monsanto to come on your property through their crop cops and take samples and even go through your tax records for 5 years. And even if you don't sign it, sometimes they'll just trespass and take samples. And if they think that you're saving seeds, then they'll typically send you a very threatening letter saying if you pay us, say, $170,000, we may not sue you. And they've collected, and I collect $300 million, both through through settlements and also through court cases. And the most famous one is a friend of mine, Percy Schmeisser, who never bought genetically modified canola. He just got contaminated from passing trucks and from nearby farms. But because it was blown over onto his property and he harvested it along with the rest of his seeds that he saved every year for 50 years and replanted it, the Supreme Court of India said, nope, it's Monsanto's intellectual property. Doesn't matter how it got there. And that means that all the crops can be given to Monsanto. So it was a really horrific way that Monsanto is working their way in to force farmers. In fact, some farmers plant GMOs just because they're scared of Monsanto. As far as the eczema question, Jack, the situation is I did a report to the American Academy of Environmental Medicine in October showing the relationship between GMOs, inflammation, and autoimmune disease. And there's so much evidence that the immune system freaks out. And your earlier caller who has on HIV, yes, this is a very serious thing. In fact, the Lyme-induced Autism Foundation came out with a policy statement saying anyone involved with a compromised immune system should stay away from GMOs. There's no study that says eczema in particular is a reaction to GMOs. In fact, there's only one human feeding study ever published. And that's one of the problems. There's like less than three dozen peer-reviewed published animal feeding studies in the world, and yet this food is fed to more than a billion people. So we can't say it will cause this, but we can show indications clearly that the immune system is damaged, that there are skin conditions associated with picking the cotton that's genetically engineered to produce the insecticide. So I would say get off of GMOs, go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com to help you avoid GMOs and see what changes. And email us if you notice a change, because we're collecting case studies of people that show differences before and after.
Brilliant way to control the world, control the food.
Absolutely. You know, the seed is more powerful than bombs. You control the seed, you control the world, and then you can start to make changes. In fact, the tobacco company years ago genetically engineered tobacco to be more addictive, and they grew it illegally in Brazil, smuggled it in the United States, and put it in certain cigarettes. That's hardly known, but it's true. So you could really, once you get this technology in your hands, you can do amazing things for good or evil. But at this point, when I say for good, there's no way to control the process, because there's so much collateral damage that occurs in the plant. Even if you put in a positive vitamin, you might kill people from the changes that occur in the plant that you never test for.
Is this responsible, in your opinion, for the honeybee shortage?
I think it's a contributor and one of the main reasons why the honeybee deaths are greater in the U.S. than in those countries that don't have GMOs.
Interesting.
I think that the neonicotinoid seed treatments, which are the pesticides that are built right into the seeds, I think that's been proven to cause problems with bees. It's been banned in other countries, but not here. But I do think that it's a contributor. In fact, one study showed that the group of bees that was pollinating, that was grabbing pollen from genetically modified BT corn plants, suffered a viral infection, whereas the controls did not. Another study showed that bees gather, when they gather the pollen, the genes from the genetically modified crops transfer into the microorganisms living inside their gut, just like what happens in humans. And so there's long-term exposure, long-term continuous exposure as a result of gathering pollen.
Philadelphia we go. Hello, Adam. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
There's some things you might not know about, like what I think is actually going on. The GMO is more like a tagging process, to understand the genetics of the different things, like corn, for instance. That understanding of that, then genetics and the wavelengths of them proteins becomes very important in the future for travel. You know, like for corn, for instance, the amount of sugar that we like would do a hybrid, just saving seeds. You know what I mean? Corn used to taste like cardboard. Now it tastes sweet, you know? But with extraterrestrials, the way they travel, like you ever burn your tires, like just like driving, just like, hey, I'm going to make like some wheels. And crop circles are actually like aliens doing that.
All right. Thanks. Golden, Colorado, west of the Rockies. Wesley, go ahead.
Hey, George, wow, I'm so excited I got through. I had to loosen my tie.
What are you wearing a tie for in the wee hours, for crying out loud? Huh?
Well, I'm working. We do security, so I'm on patrol.
Okay.
So. Long-time listener every night. So I had a question about this this Terminator technology, and maybe that's not the right area of what I'm curious about, but I'm wondering, as they genetically engineer these different crops and everything, is there a possibility of them at some point losing control or perhaps making a mistake where they engineer seeds so that as they become sterile, it's something that could possibly spread and become something that they lose control of?
I think that's a huge problem. Jeffrey?
Well, yes, this is one of the greatest dangers. I speak all over the world about the health effects, but this uncontrollable nature of releasing organisms into the environment is clearly something that puts this on an unprecedented scale of possible cataclysm. I mean, right now, the genes that have been introduced can outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste because we have a self-propagating genetic pollution. It's already invaded and contaminated the indigenous corn varieties in Mexico, the source of corn genetics. It's there, and even though we will minimize it when we kick GMOs out, by creating the tipping point of consumer rejection, which is what we're doing with our campaign for healthier eating in America, we will still not be able, until some new technology is developed, to eradicate it. Now, with Terminator technology, it's certainly a leaky technology, so it's going to, if it, it could theoretically cross-pollinate and cause the neighbor's seeds, some of them, to become sterile so that the neighbor then has to throw out the seeds they've been saving for generations and go to the catalogs and then pick it up. But what we're talking about is it's more than just Terminator technology. It's the fact that there's cross-pollination. We started out the hour talking about the rejection of eggplant in India. Well, there's 4,000 varieties of eggplant in India, and eggplant cross-pollinates. So if they had introduced this eggplant that's genetically engineered there, they might have eventually had to abandon all eggplant as an edible food, and it's a very important edible food, because there's no way to determine which eggplant is genetically engineered.
That's right.
Once it's released.
Let's see if we can get you, Beverly, in Fort Worth, Texas. Go ahead, Bev. About a minute left.
I am so glad you are doing the show tonight. I dealt with cancer, more gallons, and I bought some clothes, and I happened to, they were itchy, and I took them off, and I looked at them, and there's a fuzzy thing inside these clothes.
Yeah.
This thing is alive, and it embeds itself in your flesh, and it gets into your flesh, and I, not only me, but from here to Nashville to Michigan to Florida, the same thing has happened to women.
Well, let me ask you, Jeffrey, can GM-altered cotton, for example, create something like that?
Well, it's possible, but the thing is the cotton itself is cellulose, and according to one top biologist, he told me that it wouldn't be producing any genetically modified proteins. But, you know, even before it becomes cotton or whatever, Morgellons is created, they found inside the skin agrobacterium, which is used in the genetic engineering process. So maybe it's some crop trial, some secret trial that was never revealed. I mean, there's been over 50,000 crop trials of 100 to 200 different species, and those might escape and get out there and end up causing changes in the ecosystem into insects, etc. So certainly Morgellons may be caused by genetically modified crops. We don't know. There's a link there. Needs to be investigated.
We will try to set up, Jeffrey, the great debate with you and someone who believes in GM foods, okay?
I'd love to do that.
All right, that's Jeffrey Smith, and his website's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.